Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Stoppage Show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Yeah, if you're watching on the YouTube stream, that was Mitch Tischler, though. Just walked behind me. The one and only. He's here doing some stuff for Monumental Sports tonight. We're live at Wizards Draft HQ. War room down below us. Press conference room, all that kind of stuff over yonder. Big old gigantic TV to watch the draft on for the media folks here. So they got a great setup here at the Wharf, and excited to be here and broadcasting live. Chase Hughes, before he gets to work tonight, will join us on set here at somewhere in the 6 o'clock hour. We will also talk to Shakir Austin in half an hour. But earlier today, before I came down here, was able to chat up my guy Kevin Pelton, ESPN.com. And that is today's edition of Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
If there's a trade, we have to talk to Kevin Pelton. Those are the rules. ESPN.com, NBA writer who's been doing trade grades and so much more great analysis for ESPN for years. And it's our pleasure to have him back on the show. KP, what's up, my guy?
Nothing much. Yeah. Happy to be on call for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, you're on call for people way more important than me, like the people that pay your paycheck. So I appreciate a little bit of time during a very, very busy time. Let's dive right in. Like, what do you give the Wizards for the Jordan Poole trade yesterday and why?
Yeah, I gave them a B+ on this one. I mean, you know, fundamentally, this is a trade that boils down to, would you rather have the 1 year left on CJ McCollum's contract or the 2 years left on Jordan Poole's contract? And I'd rather have the 1 year. I think if Jordan Poole didn't have substantial trade value after the season that he had last year, where he actually kind of did all the things I think that the Wizards were hoping that he would do when he got to Washington, when they included him in the Chris Paul trade, I don't think it was going to happen after next year either. You know, I think to rebuild his trade value, he's going to have to show what he can do in New Orleans, that he can be a part of a winning team and, you know, contribute in that way. And that, you know, the offensive stats that he puts up are not kind of just empty parts of a team that isn't really particularly going anywhere. And, you know, maybe he could have done that, particularly with more veterans. We did see the Wizards being more competitive once they got Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart in there. But I don't know that. The fact that those guys, you know, were able to make them successful in Poole alone doesn't necessarily reflects that well in his value either. So this way you get CJ McCollum, who's, you know, someone who is going to sort of be complementary to the Wizards' young talent for whatever period of time he is on the roster. And then, you know, either he's traded at the deadline or he's an expiring contract, and then the Wizards grab all this additional cap space for the summer of 2026, where, you know, there's going to be a lot more teams with cap space. It's not going to be a situation like this year where Brooklyn was able to extract a first round pick for taking on, you know, a not unreasonable Terrence Mann contract in another deal that happened yesterday, but still going to be in a position where they probably will have the most money on the board and be the team that other teams are calling when they need to dump contracts.
So B plus is good, depending on who or how you feel about your, you know, academics, but it's certainly a good trade grade. What would they have needed to do to get an A for you, if that's a fair question I can ask?
Get some positive draft return. I mean, they are giving up the number 40 pick in this year's draft. I don't think that's going to be, you know, a huge difference maker for the Wizards, given the first round picks that they have and the youth that they already have on their roster. But, you know, giving up number 40 for a future second rounder, the odds are, you know, not good necessarily that you're going to get a pick higher than that in the future. And I think the Wizards are okay with that. But, you know, if they had pulled this off without including that, then we're getting into the A range.
Got it. So when you look at this draft now, is there anybody in particular that, like, I think of like a Jeremiah Fears, obviously, at the point guard position directly, but even a guy like Ace Bailey, who's been mocked to the Wizards a lot, including by your ESPN colleagues, Jonathan Givony and Jeremy Wu,
like there's just more shots available? Like, is there someone that you think fits the Wizards now, and especially even better without Poole? Like, what direction do you, if you're the Wizards, are you hoping the board goes tonight to have someone available?
Yeah, I mean, I do think this potentially signals, you know, more likelihood that they go guard, because, you know, well, CJ McCollum is someone who is still capable of starting and, you know, probably will expect that is his role for whatever period of time he's on the roster. You know, he's clearly not part of your future in the way that Jordan Poole potentially was, given his age. So, you know, if it is Jeremiah Fears, I think that does make a lot of sense. Ace Bailey, it's a tough one for me to wrap my head around. He was so inefficient as a scorer at Rutgers. And one of the earliest draft truths I feel like I learned, you know, was with Adam Morrison in particular. And there's been a number of guys that I can think of since then. Johnny Davis would frankly be an example of this to scare off Wizards fans. You know, if you're making difficult shots in college, well, that shot making is impressive. The fact that you aren't able to get easy shots against college opposition is a huge red flag for your ability to do so at the NBA level, where you're going to need to, you know, unless you're Kevin Durant. And I think we have established, based on the combination of Ace Bailey's freshman season and the measurements that we saw at the combine, that he is not Kevin Durant, who was rightfully considered a unicorn when he came out of college. Like, it's going to be very difficult for you to score efficiently, subsisting primarily on mid-range jumpers off the dribble. So I do think, you know, there are situations where if Ace Bailey goes to the right team, that he can improve his shot selection, make good on the defensive potential that we did see last year at Rutgers, that I think was very exciting, and, you know, the obvious shot making skill, and become a good player. I think there's some comparisons to maybe Boston's two star players, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown, in my projections, had basically the worst projection of any player who has been successful of all time. I mean, I think he was like 103 in the stats only rankings, and, you know, a little higher in the consensus version that also factors in where they are in that big board from not necessarily the mock draft, but the top 100 that Wu and Gavoni do, that sort of is more a clearer distillation of where they think on pure talent. But, you know, he dramatically outperformed that. Jason Tatum, like, I think people forget that at Duke, there was a lot of concern that he was going to be this, you know, low volume score, low percentage shooter based on what we saw from him. And both those guys went to a team in Boston that was veteran laden, where to play, they had to learn good habits and be role players for a period of time. So the thing that concerns me is when I hear reported, you know, forget about the workouts, I don't care about that, but hear reported that Ace Bailey wants to go to a situation where he can shoot as much as possible to develop as a star. That's not how you develop as a star. How you develop as a star is by developing good habits. So that's what would concern me with the Wizards specifically, although at some point there is a spot where Ace Bailey, the potential outweighs the risk.
Yeah, for sure. And they have good vets here, but if he is thinking he's going to come in and, you know, not learn from, like, hey, no, CJ, I got it. I just give me the ball and I'll shoot CJ McCollum and Marcus Smart and Chris Middleton, then that's obviously less than ideal and is not going to work out. Kevin Pelton, ESPN, with us here on the Hoffman Show. So getting back to the trade market and kind of some wider thoughts, although I guess this one folds into why the Wizards do this, right? You talked about the 2 year versus 1 year. They're going to have boatloads of cap space next year, which will allow them to absorb contracts and hopefully draft capital with them. That's the whole reason they would be absorbing them. Or they can trade for an expensive but good player if they, you know, win the draft lottery next year and want to kickstart things into a higher gear. But the main thing is, like, they're going to make themselves available as a trade landing spot for someone expensive. In the modern league, Kevin, with the second apron, which is basically acting as a hard cap, teams looking to shed salary more often, like, how do you change how you value what the Wizards have done here conceptually? Like, it's obviously specific to the Wizards, but, like, the concept of what they're pushing for here.
Yeah, I think one of the things we're still wrapping our mind around is, like, what's the cost of dumping salary at this point? And that's a tough equation because you just sort of don't know, you know, how much in the league do teams consider a player overpaid? I mentioned that Terrence Mann deal that the Nets made yesterday, where they got the number 22 pick in this year's draft for taking Terrence Mann 3 years left at $15.5 million. Like, that's an overpay for Terrence Mann. I didn't like it when the Hawks gave up second round picks to get him for Bogdan Bogdanovic at the deadline from the Clippers. But, like, Terrence Mann is clearly a useful player. If he was in free agency, you know, would it be $10 million a year that he would get on a similar deal? $8 million, somewhere in that range. So we're talking like 15 to 21 million they got a first round pick to get off of. And, you know, that's, I don't think the value is going to be that great for Washington or anyone else, you know, looking forward, because Brooklyn was so uniquely positioned in terms of having cap space this summer. And, you know, there weren't a lot of teams that can make a deal like that. But if that's the value and you're the Wizards and you're sitting there looking at, you know, 80 million or whatever the number is, I haven't even really looked closely at what the number might be for cap space next summer, and you know, the equivalent in terms of taking on long-term contracts using these expiring deals at the deadline, like that's a lot of picks you can accumulate. And that's the one thing, is so far I think it's more been about kind of cleaning things up for Washington than necessarily accumulating these big time assets. Although obviously they did get, you know, several first round picks last year and then ended up with AJ Johnson to give them another 2024 first round pick.
Is there anybody, I don't know if you've gotten ahead on this work yet, and if so, we can just keep it moving. I'll ask you my last question. But is there someone or someones that you kind of see as a target of like, ooh, that's a hot spot that teams are looking at around the league where a player, they're probably going to want to get off that player a year from now? Or is it just, is the lesson of the NBA finals and these NBA playoffs that who the hell knows, because we don't know who might get hurt or what, you know, team might surprise us, or in the Pacers case, both?
Yes, exactly. Indiana is, I think, a team that you'll look at, because if they re-sign Miles Turner, they'll push into the luxury tax. And it was one thing for them to start the season in the tax with Tyrese Halliburton healthy and knowing that you've got a chance to go to the finals again. I think it's going to be much tougher for them to justify now. I still think, you know, you need Miles Turner as part of this group long-term, you know, so... Is that Obi Toppin? Is that Benedict Mathurin that they ended up having to shed? Kind of depends where the Turner contract comes in. But that's a team, you know, I'm definitely keeping my eye on between now and the 2026 trade deadline. You know, as you said, yeah, I mean, we knew Boston, something was likely to happen with Drew Holiday, given the size of his contract and the size of the luxury tax bill that they were staring at. But you know, we didn't know that it was going to be as extreme as what we've already seen from Boston. And, you know, based on what my colleague Shams Charani reported last night, it sounds like they're still taking calls on Jaylen Brown and Derek White. So there's still maybe more to come. Phoenix is then the obvious other team that everyone's going to look at. They want to do it right now, I think. So, you know, the expiring contracts from Washington may not be as valuable, but, you know, they're still a team that at this point is over the second apron. And, you know, it doesn't really make much sense for, and they've got a mismatched roster now where they've got these, you know, multiple shooting guards. So, you know, plenty more to come. But yeah, there's going to be teams we just don't necessarily know exactly which ones in a year.
So ending on Phoenix leads to the last question, because this trade that happened, the Poole trade, is a direct descendant, if you will, of the Beal contract and the Beal trade. So if we put the starting point at that, at when the current regime winger Dawkins get here to DC, what have you made of the project and how Washington has dug themselves out of that hole and how they've set themselves up while acknowledging that they have done next to no winning on the court so far?
I mean, I wrote the other day that I think patience is the most valuable commodity in the modern NBA. And, you know, the Wizards for a long period of time were among the franchises that exhibited no patience, and it's the reason they got in this hole in the first place. And they have been very patient for the last few years, and I think done well. And, you know, I think the one thing I would say about this group is they have not yet been able to hit a home run. If you look at, you know, the way that Oklahoma City got set up, the way that Houston got set up, you know, they hit home runs via trade that were able to facilitate the young rosters that they've built. And Washington hasn't done that yet. There hasn't been we're getting three first-round picks for this guy. The only guy they got multiple first-round picks for, if I'm remembering correctly, is Denny Avdija. And frankly, if you look at that a year later, as that happened on the night of the draft, they didn't get enough for Denny Avdija. I think it would take many more first-round picks to acquire Avdija a year later, as well as he played in Portland. But they have hit a lot of singles, maybe some doubles. They're continuing to you know, stack together base runners. I think eventually that's going to pay off, especially if they are able to hit that home run at some point through the draft, which you know, would either require this year's number six pick being much better than we expected, or some lottery luck next year, given that didn't work out for them this year. But they have undone the damage now. They're in they basically have the cleanest cap sheet in the league, because even Brooklyn has some long-term contracts on their books to go along with all the cap space this summer. And, you know, now they're in the position, I think, to really start making some more favorable trades, as opposed to being forced to trade from more of a position of weakness.
Right. And that's the thing about that Oklahoma City rebuild. It doesn't happen without Paul George and the leverage they had over the Clippers because of the Kawhi Leonard factor. And that gets them Shea, and you hit the ground running. The Wizards, they didn't have any assets really to trade. They had an expiring Kristaps Porzingis, who they didn't have. It was like, we do the deal or we lose him for nothing. It was Beal who had the no trade clause. So they were really backed into a corner there. And obviously they did their best with Kyle Kuzma, and you know, obviously, I think they probably in hindsight would have rather traded him last summer than they did at the deadline, but you didn't know that was going to happen. So it's a tough league, Kevin Pelton. So that's what I've heard. It's tough to win. Kevin Pelton writing about it all, ESPN.com. He'll have trade grades for any other deals that go down, as well as draft grades as well after tonight and tomorrow. Kevin, always appreciate you, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Kevin Pelton with us here on the Hoffman Show. And one thing that I'm listening back to the end of that conversation with Kevin, again, I was able to chat with him a little earlier today before coming down here to Wizards Draft HQ. One thing listening back to that I think is so striking is, like, the Denny thing is tough because he was really excellent for Portland in the second half of the season. And maybe he would command, if Desmond Bane is worth five, maybe he would command three or four first-round picks based off of what he, you know, did in Portland and the contract he's on and all of that stuff. But when they traded him, he was also a guy who had never scored 15 points a game. And, like, he averaged that in the second half of the year, and that barely got him over 15 a game for the year in Portland. So while he played very well and the trajectory seems very good, what happens next year over the full year? How much does it drive winning? Like, that's still very up for debate when it comes to Denny Avdija. But outside of Denny, and look, what I was going to say too is, like, you got that. Kuz probably traded 6 months too late. Maybe Denny's traded 6 months too early. And you just hope that, like, those aren't the margins. But it's just, by and large, I don't think this group has swung and missed at all. And you can only swing at the pitches that come at you. And I think this is the hardest part of figuring out, like, what the path forward for this Washington team is, and why I endorse what they're doing, but also acknowledge that it very much could fall flat, is you just have to get lucky in this league. Like, even the teams that you're like, oh, wow, well, the Pacers and Halliburton, and that's even to some extent a bad example, or actually maybe it's the ultimate example. They didn't realize what the Kings didn't realize what they had in Halliburton. But also, 10 teams could have taken Tyrese Halliburton. So you have to get lucky that you're the team that the guy falls to, that you've identified, and then you have to develop it all right. Then he's got to stay healthy. Then this, and then you have to surround him. And, like, there's a lot of steps to the process to be really, really good in the NBA. And, you know, getting a pick right for Washington tonight at 6 will go a long way, but right might not mean the superstar. Right might mean the eventual third guy on the title team. And how do you get the next two? Like, that's the key. And that is the mystery, like Kevin said, that they haven't been able to solve yet. But I also don't know that they've missed an opportunity to do that. So we can acknowledge both things, that they have not achieve the thing that you need to achieve to be a serious contender, but they also have not really had the opportunity, because in the draft where they picked second, there were guys that would barely be scratching the top 10 this year available. And in the draft where they probably should have been, or they had the second best odds, they wind up finishing or getting the sixth pick, and we'll see what they do with that this evening. That's the tough luck of the NBA, but you have to also, you know, luck, you know, it doesn't mean anything if you're not ready for it. And so they're still in the getting ready for it phase, it appears. Perhaps they get lucky tonight and the sixth pick turns into an all-star player and a centerpiece for a competitive team in the future. And we'll look back on June 25th, 2025 is the day that it all started. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are also seeing a rebuild, of course, with the Mystics. That one's farther along, and they've got some excellent young players, Kiki Iriafin, Sonia Citron, and somehow Shakira Austin, a former top pick, is almost forgotten for a hot second. It's like, well, she's hurt all the time. Oh, and then she came back. She finally got healthy. She's been balling for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, since being reinserted into the starting lineup, so much so that she won the Eastern Conference Player of the Week, and we're going to talk to her about it all next on the Team 980.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And, of course, we're your hosts, your home for Mystics basketball. Big, big win last night against the Minnesota Lynx, powered in part by your Eastern Conference Player of the Week, Shakira Austin, who joins us now. Shakira, congratulations, by the way, on Player of the Week.
Thank you.
And another win last night. You guys didn't get off to the greatest start last night, but how were you able to rebound, come back, finish strong, and secure that dub?
Yeah, I mean, we just have to continue to stick to our principles. You know, our defense is what really carries us and allows us to play the offensive style we want. And, you know, we're able to stack those stops. You know, we just have to execute on the other end. So we've been in positions where, you know, we've been down before. So it wasn't, you know, a question about whether we could fight it out and do it. It was just executing.
For you, I feel like the effort level is always there. The rebounding, it's sometimes, obviously, it's basketball, like the shots come and go. Have you felt yourself, as you've gotten deeper into your career, been able to make sure the other stuff dissipates, as you miss a layup here, you miss a jump shot there? Like, that happens. It's basketball. But that, you know, the defensive side never wavers. And who has helped you, you know, continue to develop that professional mentality?
Yeah, I mean, I've always, you know, wanted to establish myself as a complete two-way player. You know, my energy, the same as how our system is, it runs off of my defense. That's something that, like, since high school, you know, I've been really dominant with, and that's something that I can bring every day, like you say, no matter missed shot or missed layup. But now that I'm able to, you know, kind of put the full package together a little bit better and continue to grow my IQ and just slow the game down, everything is kind of opening up, and you see the level I'm able to impact on both sides.
Shakira Austin with us here on the Hoffman Show. I was going to say, you know, shots come and go, except for recently. Most of them are going in. You've got 28, 21, and 19 points in your last three games. What has started to really work for you offensively, and how much, Shakira, is it just simply health? Like, you're starting to feel like you again.
Yeah, part of it is definitely just finally being healthy and being able to compete and get those minutes and that experience. And the other part is, you know, honestly getting the green light. You know, I felt like I've had these abilities since coming into the league, but it was just about whether a team wanted to use them, to their full capacity. And now that I'm, you know, through with my injuries, Lord willing, I'm able to show what I can do. And, you know, this isn't something that was just built from one off season, you know, like, this is stuff I was doing my rookie season overseas. So it's just really about getting back to who I was, but also allowing myself to learn along the way and kind of just expand my IQ.
What have the conversations been like with Sydney as you work back from this injury from a minute standpoint? You obviously started coming off the bench. You're on some level of a minutes restriction, and then you get unleashed in the starting lineup and have really taken off. What were those conversations like to manage the expectations during that period? And then what was the conversation when he was like, all right, it's time, let's go, green light?
Yeah, so, you know, the beginning of the season, you know, obviously I didn't start it the way I wanted to. Had some knee issues that honestly have turned out to be growing pains. So that was, yeah, that was.
Are you telling me that you're getting taller, Shakira? That now we're going to have to change your 6'6", 6'7"?
Okay. Very, very much taller, 6'6". Yeah, I literally hit the mark. I've never hit 6'6", even with shoes. And yeah, it kind of explains the things that were going on at the beginning of the season that really didn't have kind of like a solution. We didn't really know what was going on. I just knew it was hurting a little bit. And you know, as the season went on, you know, I think the coaches and the staff, they definitely want to make sure that I'm healthy for the full season. But I was definitely ready to get out there. Like I wanted to get in shape. And so, I definitely, you know, voiced my opinions on where I should be and, you know, what type of, I know the type of player I am. And, you know, once we kind of cleared that roadblock of, okay, Shakira is, you know, back in the starting lineup. Shakira is, you know, full to go, no minute restrictions. That's really what took a lot of the mental aspect out of me overthinking, you know, how the season had begun. And I was able to just focus on basketball and focus on continuing to be healthy. Like my routine was consistent no matter how many minutes I played. And, you know, now I'm just seeing kind of the work pay off finally.
Your 6'6" Eastern Conference Player of the Week, Shakira Austin, with us here on the Hoffman Show. You obviously have played with a ton of different players over the last couple of years. This year, you know, the rookies coming in, and there's all these questions about like, oh, how will Shakira fit with, let's say, Kiki Erie fit? Turns out pretty well, Shakira. Turns out pretty well. What do you enjoy about playing with Kiki specifically along that front line?
Oh, man, she's just a dog. Like, she's super tough and physical, and she's not afraid to, you know, hit first in a sense. Like, she is going out there, like all of our rookies are out there and they're competing at a high level and they have the extreme confidence to, you know, challenge anybody they step on the floor with. And, you know, I like to consider myself a dog, and those are the type of players that I want to play with. You know, people who compete every single day, people who are going to challenge me in practice, and just make each other better. And yeah, I definitely understood the questions of whether, you know, I was going to fit coming back to play with her. But, you know, that's just to me based off what they've seen in the past. You know, that wasn't to me the real Shakira. I wasn't able to just be myself. So, you know, I felt rushed and I felt like I was forcing things. And now that I really have the ability to just play my game, play at my speed, and be truly like a playmaker, that's all I want to do. Like, I'm not here to just try to go out and score, you know, 25 a game. Like, I can truly impact and make every single person on this team better. And I think I can help elevate Kiki to help her just get easy buckets. Like, you know, we have to work a little hard in the paint to, you know, one-on-one score efficiently. And I think having a post like me who can push the ball and, you know, look for those high lows and, you know, just use my IQ to help get those post entry passes. I think it's going to just help loosen everything up, and we're just going to continue to build our chemistry. Like, this still only our, you know, a couple games in where we're actually playing together. Like, when I first came in, we weren't even getting our minutes together. It was kind of like a one in, one out thing. And, you know, I was like, let's go. Like, I know we can play together. I know that this can be, you know, one of the best front courts in the league right now. And it's just exciting to have a rookie and to know that, you know, I'm not truly a vet yet, but I have my experience and, you know, I definitely have my leadership role, and I'm just glad that I can, you know, help bring this team and help us get some dubs.
Shakira, this is going to make all the old heads so happy, but I'm going to lean into it. Shakira Austin, tell me what makes a great post-entry pass. It's like this lost art, but like, it's so important. Tell me what makes a good post-entry pass.
It's so important. A good post-entry pass, you have to pass where the open hand is. Like, guards love, and no shade to them, but they love to throw the ball where they think it should go, Or, you know, they just don't read, like, okay, I'm asking for it high. You should throw it high. They throw a bounce pass. And I don't know. I just have that touch. Post players, we know where we want the ball. So it's definitely a lost art. And I think it needs to start back in AAU. We need to get back to focusing on some post-entry passes. I think a lot of college coaches would agree. But, yeah, it's definitely a true art once you master it.
I played like pickup. I was not a high school or college level basketball player. But
yeah.
Like, basketball is basketball to some extent. I used to drive me insane as a guard who would post up. I'm like, my hand's out. Throw it to my hand.
Yeah.
How hard is it?
Exactly.
I'm literally telling you, just throw it to the hand. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Just throw it to the hand.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't get it.
Nope, they don't get it. Silly guards. Last thing, real quick, wrap up here with Shakir Austin on Kiki's especially. Do you ever look at her off the floor and just go, you're not the same person? There's no way that you on the floor, the dog, are this like puppy dog off the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she has, you know, I would say the same as me with multiple personalities. You know, we step on the floor and we're straight menace. You know, we are dogs. We have a killer instinct. And you get off the court and like we play around and she's literally just like someone's auntie, like little bougie auntie. She loves to, you know, just be sweet and be loud and goofy. You know, she just reminds me of myself. And, you know, we're super loose off the court, but once we step in between those lines, it's over with. So I love that, you know, we have players who, like I said, we compete when we step on the floor. But once it's over, you know, we're back to our true selves. So.
And then last question on the other rookie that's hooping right now in Sony.
Yeah.
She hit the game winner the other night,
mm-hmm.
and she celebrated for about 0.8 seconds. Is that the most excited that you've seen Sonia Citron in her Mystics career so far?
I believe so. Like, I've been working on her with her celly, trying to get some facial expressions. You know, she's like, Kira, how do you make those faces? Like, I want to make that face. And... literally, and now that, you know, she's showing a little bit more, we got our little 3-point celebration, a little blowing the three kiss, so she's exciting to watch, man. Like, she's just coming out here, like I said, they're both just confident and just playing, you know, to their natural abilities. Like, there is just raw talent, and it's so exciting to watch and to see her, you know, just kind of come out of her shell just a little bit, and hopefully next time we get a little bit of talking, but we'll see.
We'll see. She it's almost like she caught herself. She was like, okay, that was enough.
Oh, yeah.
That was enough. Okay.
That's enough.
Oh, no, my teammates
are
coming.
Yep. Too much.
Too much. Shakira
exactly.
Austin, Eastern Conference Player of the Week. Little road trip coming up. Las Vegas, Dallas, Minnesota, the next three for the Mystics. Shakira, best of luck on the road. We'll see you when you get back home and appreciate your time as always here on the show.
Thank you.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Offit Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. We are locked and loaded here from Wizards Draft HQ, where tonight we will see the Wizards draft at 6. We will also see them draft at 18, unless, of course, they make a trade, in which case we will see that not happen, because that's how that works. Anthony, a couple of big trades across the NBA over the last couple of days that I think are worth discussing. And specifically, I think, well, if you want to talk about, you know, like the Wizard through a Wizards lens, and of course, everyone's always thinking about this stuff through a Wizards lens here in D.C., for Wizards fans at least. There's certainly fans of other teams, but, you know, we tend to be a little bit Wizards focused here. Like, the trade that they make yesterday to set up for 2026 is the kind of trade that prepares you for when the next Boston Celtics happens. And I hate what is happening to the Celtics, and I think we can separate the two things. The Boston Celtics should have been set up as well as basically any team in the league for the next, I don't know, how many years that they were going to, you know, that they should have been the best team in the league. Roster-wise, you know, obviously Oklahoma City is catching up quickly, but this is a extraordinarily talented Celtics group that was more mature and I think better rounded with the quad players of Holiday, Porzingis, Brown, and Tatum when healthy. And now Jason Tatum gets hurt. Porzingis has this kind of mystery illness in the middle of the year, and they're so strapped for money from a cap perspective, and obviously like their ownership doesn't want to have to pay a luxury tax if the team is not competing. I mean, I think that's something that's kind of understood. If you're not going to be competing for a championship, which is going to be really hard without Jason Tatum, then if you can save yourself $100 million, why wouldn't you? That's $100 million. And it's easy to say, you know, like, yes, are these owners all billionaires and multi-billionaires, and do these businesses generate a ton of money? Yes, but ultimately, like, that's money that could be spent on player care or practice facilities or whatever. It's not all just – or paying other people in the organization. It's not just straight profit that they're keeping. So they want to save $100 million in a year where they're not competing, not to mention the fact that if you're in the luxury tax a certain number amount of years or you're across the aprons, whatever, like, the penalties are stiffer for repeatedly, quote-unquote, violating the salary cap. So, like, there are competitive reasons as well. Point is, teams are going to do this. And I hate that the Celtics felt like they had to do this, because I would have loved to see in 2 years a healthy Jason Tatum with, you know, if Brown and or Holiday and Porzingis are still there. Plus, I didn't even mention Derek White, who actually might have been the third best player on the team last year and is still there and is still part of their core because he's more age-wise in the range of Tatum and Brown. I would have loved to see that go against Oklahoma City and whoever else enters that equation. But here we are. Like, Anthony Simons is a good player. He'll help them offensively. But I think the thing that made them great, the defensive dynamo that was the White-Holiday duo with, like, Tatum, who's a good defender, and Brown, who's a very good defender, backing them up, Porzingis protecting the rim. Like, it goes from a team that should have been had a chance to compete for titles for 4 years to a team that won one, and then a year later and a couple days gets broken up.
Yeah, like, the second apron, man, it is doing numbers. But you were looking at it from, like, you know, the Celtics side of things. I think Drew Holiday going to the Trailblazers, I think there's going to be a team that, you know, sees his value and ultimately, you know, goes out and tries to trade for him. Just
or
like,
do the Blazers just keep him, because the Blazers might be good?
I mean, yeah, he's still good. I'm more so just thinking about, you know, how we saw Alex Caruso used with the Thunder this year. And even 2 years ago when the Celtics won, or I guess last year when the Celtics won, how instrumental having a Drew Holiday was, like, that that role player that you necessarily need when you're building your team up. So I'm interested to see. I think a team like the Nuggets could definitely use his services because, you know, they've missed out on that the last couple of years where they didn't have KCP and they didn't have Bruce Brown. So interested to see what happens with Drew Holiday.
Yeah, that's a great call. Nuggets is a great team. I just kind of wonder, though, like, if you're the Blazers, one, you are, like, the funny thing is, if he gets rerouted from Portland, that would be twice that he gets rerouted from Portland.
I know.
Because remember, he was there in the Dame trade. Mm-hmm. He was traded away from Milwaukee to Portland. Portland ultimately flips him to Boston. Boston wins a championship.
Yeah.
And the Nuggets feels like a great one. I mean, your boys in L.A.,
They could definitely use I mean, that's the thing. A guy
who
like
couldn't
Drew.
Use Drew Holiday.
Yeah,
like Oklahoma City would just be like, fine, we got another defensive nightmare for people to deal with. Like,
I mean, they got picks to give up.
They're not going to, obviously, but like they you know, literally every single team that you can name in the NBA would be better for having Jrue Holiday on it. That's who Jrue Holiday is as a player. But we'll see where he lands. Porzingis, man, I feel so bad for him. Like, he gets to Boston, he gets to win the title, but just you hope that we haven't seen the last of him as a great player. But I think yesterday we were pondering this around this time. Are the Hawks all of a sudden going to be decent in the
East? Yes, they will.
In an East that's not very good? I guess we'll see. Chase Hughes is now stepped outside here. We're going to have him step inside. And we're going to talk draft, as we are just 2 hours from the NBA draft beginning. Of course, you'll hear it here on the Team 980. Linnell Willingham will anchor our coverage. But Chase Hughes steps in with us next here on The Hoffman Show.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.